And in 3, 2, 1, we have liftoff.
You are listening to the Discerning Eye Podcast, discerning all things cannabis, with your hosts, Alan Villatoro, Aaron Luna, and Brianna Grignon.
All right, welcome everybody to another episode of the Discerning Eye here at the Summit Lounge. We are joined here with some very special guests. I'm going to let them introduce themselves here from Trade Roots.
Jesse Pitts, co-founder Trade Roots. Born and raised Wareham, Mass. It's where our entire facility is located. So we are the first social equity full vertical company in Massachusetts. Woo-hoo. And that is a
proud
statement.
Very proud.
Right on. Carl Cianone. Spent over 20 years in New York, but now live in Wareham, Mass, about half a mile from this facility. And thanks for having us, guys.
Yeah, we're excited.
What made you put so much love into what you guys are doing?
For me, the heart and soul is a craft product, a product that in the end truly represents, especially in a concentrate, represents the true representation of what that flower is. And that is the hurrah for me in the full spectrum. As far as you can get it, and you can call it broad, you can call it full. I know there's lots of debates there. I don't want to get into that here, that's for sure. But it's the idea is to pull as much of that flower into a concentrate as you possibly can.
So capturing it, right? Capturing the essence of what it really is, the plant, right?
All of it. As much as you possibly can throughout that extraction process. And no extraction process is perfect, but it's that is the end goal. So yes.
Right.
I think it shines through, though. I think much of what you just described, and we had a conversation about this earlier, can, you know, kind of shines through not just in the final product, but like through the culture of the company that creates that final product, you know. And, you know, we had an opportunity to go down there and visit you guys and really try to figure out, you know, what was behind the magic, right? And I think much of what you just pointed out and much of what we just discussed earlier before we started this is there's a certain culture behind trying to achieve that, you know, that certain level of superiority, right? Because it doesn't happen in a vacuum. It doesn't happen to one person. It's a whole team, right? But it's led, obviously, with you two spearheading it. So it's the culture that you guys are setting forth for that quality.
Yeah, and you said it with team, and there's no way that this could be done with the two of us, and you know, we had the vision in the beginning, and we set it out and set the stage, and you know, there are very, very key players in our extraction labs and in our cultivation facility that play a huge role.
And in the middle office and
and everywhere, man. All over, right?
I mean, there's...
It takes a lot.
It started with the two of us, but we have almost 50 employees now in a very small facility. And the majority of them are locally, you know, sourced...
individuals, you know, right? So we had the luxury of going down there and actually getting a really nice tour of your facility and seeing everything in person. And you guys have one of the coolest experiences down there where you can actually see the flower and it's, you know, as it's grown, you know, and it's as it's receiving its nutrients, its light. It's pretty cool. And, you know, we were treated to kind of the whole experience while we were down there, which is kind of cool. And really one of the reasons why it inspired us to want to bring you guys in here and learn a little bit more about it. And, you know, we got to learn earlier about what makes Trade Roots what it is. But, you know, I kind of want to hear it from you guys and hear a little bit about, you know, Trade Roots, right? What, let's talk about, you know, how it came to be.
Oh. So that's a loaded question, and I'll give kind of the summed up version. But Trade Roots to me is a culmination of it means a dream come true, and to me to be able to run a full vertical cannabis company in my hometown after being, you know, quite frankly, thrown in jail for doing the same exact thing not too long ago, really, it strikes a chord. And to me, it shows that we've come so far in such a little bit amount of time.
Yeah, so Jesse brings a very interesting perspective into this whole thing, in that, you know, he's really experienced it before legalization. And much of the social equity that has taken place, he's experienced it, which, you know, most of us, quite frankly, haven't even come close to it. And so, you know, we were fortunate enough to learn a little bit about it earlier and hear, you know, Jesse's side of it and how, like you said, yeah. It's come a long way from, you know, from those years. And I think, to me, it really lends the story of Trade Roots and, you know, how it really, no pun intended, the roots, you know, of the company, and why your passion, you know, shines through in the end result of the product. Because we've tried a lot of product, and we're still trying a lot of product. And in fact, here we are trying other product, and yet craft products like yours are always going to shine, because the quality, the amount of love, the amount of experience, the background, culture, everything that you bring to it is always going to come through with the final product. I have a confidence that you will never put out a product that won't meet your expectations.
We always try it before we put it out.
Good to hear though because it does
and thank you, because that's, I mean, you know, you put a huge smile on my face, because that is the idea, and we want the consumer to be, you know, excited about what they're getting. And you said it when you said experience, and that is exactly what we're trying to offer and trying to present as a brand. Is we're not just a store, we're an experience, and there's something about that. And you see it in breweries, and you see it in when you have the open window and you can see them brewing in the back. And we try to take that idea to the cannabis industry and have that open kitchen idea and bring that visibility to what we're doing to cannabis. And we were the first one in Massachusetts to get approved by the CCC a show flower room window that shows exactly what we're doing behind the scenes to the consumer as they're purchasing goods in our retail floor.
And to the state,
you're the only one. We, yes, right? And there were absolutely some hurdles to that and some questions from the CCC, which is a fun story. And in the end, they approved it, and they actually quoted to us that they thought it was going to be cool. And that was an awesome moment. Cool. Carl and I forgot that we were unmuted, and we were like high-fiving and like and then we realized, like, oh my god, we're actually still on the meeting with the CCC right now. So it was
the perils of Zoom, right?
It was a very awesome moment for us, because we knew that we could actually do this, and we invested in it, and we believed in it, and we believed in our understanding of the regulations. And it was awesome that the CCC saw that this industry is becoming that.
The flower window that you guys have is one in the state, right? No one else in the state has a flower window. Explain what that means, and please tell me how much hoops you had to jump through to get that flower window.
So I think the most important question is whose idea was the flower window? Because
not the guy in the background.
This is an ongoing debate. At Trade Roots, as whose idea this was. And I think there are four contenders to this, but either way.
Yes, one person who came up with it.
It was my idea. But either way, we are the first in Massachusetts that does have a window that looks into a flower room. And it was a little bit of a, I don't want to call it a confrontation, but a discussion
at the CCC.
And I was watching the competition.
Please describe it.
So, general rule of thumb, when the Cannabis Control Commission, the CCC, is doing an investigation, the only people that you have present for said investigation are people that could add value.
Correct.
So, therefore, I was not part of said... thing. So I'm there with our office manager watching it on cameras. Is Jesse in our cultivation director?
I will vouch, it's very scary. It's not a good feeling.
It's incredibly hard to watch on camera when I can't hear words. And I'm just so I'm watching
it through.
Well, that's entirely it. So we went, so we got our manufacturing and cultivation license first, and that was back in July. So I watched them go through manufacturing, and I mean, the lab looks like, I think the state fire marshal called it the space station. And so
clean.
That was, it, thank you.
Which is what you want.
Yes. And very high tech. And so watching them go through that, there was
look,
not
we've been in some labs. And believe me when I tell you, I don't want their stuff. Yeah, so we've seen your place, and there's a significant difference. And it's amazing to me sometimes when I uncover some of the spaces of some of the products that are being put out there, and I'm like, no, we're not going to offer that. So yes, I definitely can concur with the space station.
I appreciate
go
that.
On.
It's doing the things that even though people don't see it, you still do the right stuff. So if that's also like cleaning up after yourself and just giving your workspace
right.
But so watching them go through the manufacturing was fine, and then cultivation, they walk into that flower room that the other wall is retail, and we have shades that we pull down so you don't get light bleeding in at night and that kind of stuff. Actually, between the investigator going through the regulations and our general counsel, they realized that yes, in fact, this was allowed, and although no one's done it yet, the fact
you
that
knew
we
what you were doing.
Yep, and we were by the regs, and that's, you know, something we sort of pride ourselves on.
That comes through in your products, so let's talk about your products.
Yes.
Yeah, so... you know, I want to know about your products. What's your favorite? Whether it's because of the total, flavor, or because of the process that you enjoy going through to make it. Let's talk about that.
So I don't think it's a secret. I am a connoisseur of dabbables.
Yeah.
I love high-end
concentrates. Absolutely. Well, they're tasty. They're very healthy. You know,
a good solventless extract is fantastic. I love high-end hydrocarbon extracts are some of my favorites, especially in Massachusetts with the PPM limits.
Yeah,
they're basically
low.
Solventless by the time they're done.
Yeah.
So yeah,
for those people that don't understand what a PPM is, it's parts per million, right? So when you say like when the low limits that the state imposes, it's something we discuss often in the market, and we hear it from manufacturers that it's a tough number to hit. But like you just pointed out, it essentially it kind of ensures that the product is as clean as possible, right?
So to give you just sort of context, I believe the second most stringent state was Colorado.
Yeah.
And they were, I think, what, 800 ppm or 900 ppm, something like that.
Yeah.
And they raised that to 5,000 ppm because that's the pharmaceutical industry.
Yeah.
Standard.
Standard. Right.
Massachusetts is 12.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like 12 or 14 parts per million.
No, it's 12 parts per million.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's, I have been told if you've ever if you've ever smoked, have you ever lit a joint? Or had a hamburger, or started your car, or you've inhaled
more
parts
that.
Per million than...
No, that standard is extremely low. And sometimes, you know, I do hear it a lot from other manufacturers that it's a tough number to hit. And yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, though, it's a number that everybody has to hit. And what it also means for the end user is typically a product that has less, outside material from what was introduced to it. You know, and I think it usually renders... like you said, almost a solventless product. While not quite solventless, it at least, you know, ensures that there's less of that material residual, right?
Not non-detectable.
There you go, undetectable. But nonetheless, I think it's important to note, though, that like you pointed out, some of those exist, and there's solventless products out there. But yeah, let's keep going. Let's talk a little bit more about the stuff you guys make and what you really like.
Sure. So it's there's an array of products that you need to produce in order to create enough SKUs in the marketplace, and we realized that. So early on, and it depends on really, it depends on the feed that's going into the extraction for an extraction process. And obviously, I'm speaking manufacturing now. Flour is flour. The better you can produce it, the better it is.
Yeah, you still need a product to get in there to manufacture something of high quality.
You do, and in the end, you can't only rely on yourself for that. You right. have to rely on the industry for a lot of the, as we call, feed in the industry. And we work a lot with a lot of partners, and we try real hard to get some quality feed that's out in the marketplace. And it you have to work really hard to prove yourself in this industry and show that you can actually produce a high quality product with an acceptable yield on that feed for it to make sense for somebody to actually give you that feed to start with. And the extraction process is really that's where it gets intricate and it gets really interesting in the manufacturing, because it comes down to toll processing. And really the deals that go around are split deals, whether it's 50-50, 60-40, 70-30. There are all kinds of deals on the table, and there are cash extractions on the table.
You were telling us about you were one of the first ones in the state to introduce a co-op, right? Where you work with other partners to help. Is that right?
That's a great point, and that was how it really started. Was we wanted to work with a lot of these standalone cultivators that are out in the marketplace, and for us, you know, you want to give credit where credit's due. And if somebody's cultivating a massive field and you're extracting that product for them, when they make that transaction to us, their brand is lost. And it was important for us to recognize and to put that out into the market. Who cultivated that?
And you do that on your products, which I think is really a cool thing you do on every single one of your products that are out there. The concentrates, you actually list the cultivator of that product as like your co-op, which I think is really cool. And like I said, I think you guys, if I'm not mistaken, were one of the first ones to start doing that.
Yeah, and I'll turn it over to Carl to speak a little bit more on that, but. That was something that to me made sense, but when we started talking to companies in the industry, it was a weird reaction.
Of course, yeah. I don't know where I can go much beyond that, but I mean, it was kind of funny that when we first started having some of these discussions, when we opened up manufacturing, and it was like, well, hey, if you have great product and we're extracting it, like, why don't we do this together? Like, and Jesse's big thing was, and this is so. I turned 40 years old, and then Jesse taught me how to drink carbohydrates. I stopped drinking beer when I graduated college, and then all of a sudden I moved up here, and Jesse's like, oh, you want to go out for beer? And so,
beer up here.
But for me, beer was like Bud Light. And then he's like, oh, hey, meet some IPAs. I mean, really high calorie.
Enjoy that for kind of time. Yeah, I mean, there's a time and place for everything, and I think you know, my favorite would probably, if I was drinking beer, would be something like an IPA, you know, much like what we had earlier, or I would have, look, at the end of the day, there's really nothing I won't try or don't like. There's very little I don't like, actually, except sea urchin. I'll never do that again.
Well, Jesse pointed out that breweries will do collaborations
all the time,
and so it was like, if you like one and then you like the other.
My favorite thing about it is that you get to introduce some other producers of good products to the market, because I think that right now in this industry it's so ridden with larger corporations that are really trying to overtake the market. And I think us as smaller producers are able to, you know, really showcase that we can produce really great products out there, and we don't necessarily have to be the big guys, you know, ourselves included in that, because we don't produce any of our own products, at least not yet. But even still, I think it's important for us to showcase that there's a lot of, for example, you guys are in Wareham, right? We're out here in Worcester. It took you guys an hour and 10 minutes to get out here. It's not
the way Jesse drives.
allegedly.
Allegedly.
And yet, I think it's important for the customer base out here to hear your story and to try the products so they can really experience your story, you know, and then when they're down there in your area, make that stop to actually see, you know, the space that you guys have created, you know, so they can continue learning more about your story. But like I said, it kind of, you know, we're out here an hour and 10 minutes away, which doesn't seem like much, but we're in Massachusetts, so an hour and 10 minutes on the highway is still a pretty decent ride, you know. The Plymouth area, the South Shore area from here is still a good ride, and your products out here right now, you know, they still need to be, you know, they need to be heard, you know, and we're excited to be able to do that for you out here and continue to tell your story, you know, because we feel like it's a great product. It needs to be told. It needs to be shared. Like we were talking earlier about the beers and how I love bringing beers, good IPAs to friends, you know, and I was talking to a friend of mine. I said, I always had it in my car because I feel like a good beer is something we should be sharing, right? This is the same thing. This is a great product that needs to be shared. The market out here needs to have that product shared. And so, you know, we're really excited to be able to do that with Trade Roots, but more importantly, learn about the story and why it needs to be shared out here.
Thank you. Really appreciate that, those in the kind words. And, you know, really what we're trying to do is provide a product that we are proud of, that I would want to consume and that I look forward to consuming. And I try to think that I understand what the consumer wants, but I always want that feedback, and we're always learning and we're finding new ways to get better and better. And it's really all about that craft, but it's all about the community too, and reaching out to those in the community that give us that feedback. And, you know, whether it's positive or negative, it's all good information.
Right.
So we know which way to steer that ship. And if you don't get that feedback, it becomes tough. And we are always moving in a direction to get better. And we never want to stop. We never want to just rest. And we're always looking to collaborate with more and more people. And going back to that a little bit, I think that there's something strong to be said for the collaborations and giving the cultivators really the credit for what they've produced as a product. Because
if it hadn't been for you guys, and it's odd because I wouldn't have heard about you guys unless it's like that's how it works. That you find those products that producers that share the same values, you know, especially as it relates to quality. And, you know, sometimes when you find them, you get really excited about it. And really, the reason we found them is because you brought them to market, you know? And
there's kind of a funny story behind High Plains Farms, because we scheduled a trip out there, and, you know, it's out in Western Mass, and the weather did not look well. So
what time of the year was it?
I
early summer.
Yeah, it was early summer, and it was, like, expected really heavy rains. So I had my raincoat and I forgot it at home. I get to the building and I was complaining that I forgot my raincoat at home. So Carl gives me a raincoat and we get on the road and I realize I left Carl's raincoat in my office. So I forgot my raincoat twice. So I was like, well, you deserve this at this point. And I just had to deal with it. And Carl will gladly share this picture to everybody in the world. So I'm sure everybody will have a chance to see it.
You could add to the show notes if you like. I'll forward it to
us. But I feel like if you're the captain,
I just had to deal with it because I knew I screwed up twice. And, you know, it was just on me at this point. And when I met the guys out at High Plains, I knew right away. And, you know, I talked to them on the phone before I got out there. But when I saw their passion, I saw what they were trying to do. And talk about a small, you know, operation with a huge heart. I mean, these guys are it.
Where were they located?
The
Plainfield? Plainville? Is that?
Yeah,
down near there. Far away. It's near. It's in the California part of the state. Somewhere way out west.
I think it's like Plainville.
You're from the state, Jesse. You have no excuse.
I'm just laughing at you because you jumped into the answer.
So you guys make some really fine concentrates using some of these co-ops with some of these farms.
Absolutely.
And I think for some of our consumers that maybe aren't familiar with what these products are like, for the newer consumers, right, they come across your brand at our store. Typically, they're going to be in the form of cartridges, right? Or not?
Cartridges, concentrates, and flour. And the idea is to have...
pre-rolls, tincture?
Yes.
So how would you guide them through that product line and maybe for the newer consumer on who wants to try, you know, something like a craft... concentrate. How would you guide them through that in terms of like what may best suit them?
Flour. Concentrates are really for the connoisseur consumer. The vape carts, I think, is really where people get kind of confused on what's what.
Right.
And, you know, there's kind of an array of vape carts is the way I look at it. And the typical, I'll start with the typical cart, which would be a distillate cart, which is distilled THC, and that THC is then thinned out and homogenized with terpenes, whether they be botanical terpenes or
cannabis-derived
terpenes, to one, add flavor and also to thin that distillate, because
right.
distillate is extremely viscous. From there, they add it into carts, and you have a distillate cartridge. There's another school where you can take BHO or CO2 oil, and you can take that and you can put it into a cartridge, and you have more of the spectrum of the cannabinoids, where you have a lot of the minor cannabinoids along with the THC, so you're kind of getting...
Some of those cannabinoids you're talking about are like CBD, some CBG...
Some CBN, CBN some CBG...
THCV that we talked about earlier.
There's so many, and it's fascinating to study some of these COAs, these certificates of analysis
right.
from the labs, because you never know, from every strain it varies.
Right.
And you know that's kind of the fingerprint of that strain,
right.
is that cannabinoid profile along with that terpene profile
but
of that strain.
Those concentrates, like you're mentioning, though, contain all of those, almost the original cannabinoids, right? They're the full spectrum of what was there before, right?
That's the idea, is to, you know, with
as
the concentrate.
As opposed to a distillate, which is only the THC, right?
Correct. Okay. The idea is to pull as much of that initial flower through to the finished product.
Right.
The entire cannabinoid spectrum, as much as you can pull through, and also the entire terpene profile as much as you can pull through.
Which terpenes are just so tasty.
And the two of those together is really what is representative of that strain. And the, you know, I kind of call it the cannabis fingerprint,
sure.
where, you know, if you test it and you see those profiles together, you know that that's a strain. And if somebody's calling a strain, and you test it and you look at it and it's just like, that's not what you're calling it, because the fingerprint, it literally is the fingerprint. It's the genetic fingerprint. That's the spectrum.
It's not matching up if it doesn't match. It's clearly evident if it doesn't match up. So with regards to, you know, the differences, there's distillate, there's resins. You mentioned BHO, which is butane hash oil. Is that right?
Correct. Okay. So the butane hash oil, that's what we use typically for the dabbable products.
Yep.
But you can also put that into cartridges, which gives you that full spectrum of cannabinoids. And then there are two ways to approach that, where you can add the terpenes back in from that extraction,
yeah.
which we call a strain-specific cartridge.
So
whether
that's like
it's
when
a
that's
live
like
resin,
cured resin. Okay.
Exactly.
So I've tried a couple of those. I think I had a white rhino. Is that
yes.
right?
Correct.
Okay.
And that was with High Plains,
that was
right?
a cured resin High Plains
yeah.
product.
It was
correct.
Very flavorful. And that
fantastic.
Was a yeah. And I remember the other one was, it was a live resin product.
Citra Whip.
Yes, it was awesome. That's right, Citra Whip.
Yep.
And so those are both carts. And you know, for the new consumers out there, the carts are the ones they're called 510 threads, but they typically are they adapt to or they screw on most batteries, right? Is that those are the
correct.
Carts?
And we just got brand new Trade Roots branded batteries in 2 days ago, and we're
perfect.
Kind of excited about that.
So all right. So so those are easily, if you have a good battery, you can pick up like one of your carts and, you know, just literally, you know, twist it on there and enjoy it without the need of having a rig, right? Like a typical concentrate. But you get to experience close to what that original concentrate is, right?
It's 80%?
It's
70%.
The idea is to get a dab in a car.
Right.
And we will always strive to get as close to it as possible.
Yep.
And that we have an internal joke between Carl and myself of like, how close are we? You know, and we're always pushing forward to get, you know, that moment where it's like, all right, we got it.
Right.
And I think it's getting real close, and I'm extremely proud of it. I think it's a fantastic product, our live carts and our cured resin carts.
Fantastic.
Thank you. But I've had some on the West Coast that I strive to get there, and you know, that's something at Trade Roots that, you know, we'll never settle, and we're always looking to push the envelope and always looking to find that next thing, and I think that's really what will separate, you know, those right. who are those big MSO money guys and those that actually care, and you know, I'm a consumer that's producing a product, and that to me is like, I want to produce a product that I'm proud of and that I want to consume,
especially when your face is on it.
Well, I was going to ask you earlier what differentiates you, but I think you just kind of answered that anyways. But, you know, the captain's reserve, you know, that's, can you just briefly talk about that? Because you just mentioned the face on it, and I think it needs to be heard.
So it's funny. Again, sort of going back to that fun, I was having lunch with Matthew from Good Feels.
Oh, yeah.
And he's talking about their iterations of their brand thing and 28 iterations, and they had the raise and how it made people feel and all of this stuff. And then he asked me how we came up with Captain's Reserve. And so the real story, and I don't think we've ever said this publicly, we started doing extractions, these collaborations,
right.
before we opened up our retail and as we were cultivating. And so we're putting product now out on the market. And we were kind of concerned that we would fuck it up.
Yeah.
So it was like, all right, let's come up with an outside brand so we don't ruin the Trade Roots name just in case we make a mistake. And so I think Jesse came up with the idea of the name Captain's Reserve and all of this. And so the artist who did our logo also sold us some great paintings that we're going to be putting in July and all this stuff. And one of the things he tried to sell us was this painting of this he called it the Salty Sea Captain. and he's trying to sell it to us. And he's like, and when you walk in, you see the sea captain, he's going to be the guide and all this stuff. Like, Rip, we're not doing a sea captain, man. Like, the customer's the hero, not this captain, whatever. And so Jesse comes up with this Captain's Reserve idea. And now we need a logo. And we also don't have any money. And so that becomes a tough thing when we're also not artistic, have no money, and need a logo. And these are all hard things. And so he said Captain's Reserve. He's like, wait a minute. And so I go through this PDF that Rip sent over. And then I look at the picture, and then I look at his face, and I realize, holy shit, this looks like him. And so
really, I want to try to describe your logo here. So the Trade Roots logo first is the, you got a lighthouse up there, you've got some roots. It looks like the lighthouse actually becomes the roots, right? The land, right?
Yes.
Is that how I would?
Yes.
And it's like inside of this compass look, the compass is one of the things that I really enjoy about it, because it always reminds, every time because when you flip over and actually look at the Captain Reserve logo, now you've got a picture of the captain who I'm looking at here, and he's got like a regular corn cup. I don't know, not a corn cup, like a pipe, right? It almost reminds me of some like fisherman out of like Gloucester, you know. That's how I would describe it. It's like a fisherman out of Gloucester look, and it's the Captain's Reserve, and inside the same compass that's featured on the Trade Roots logo. So we're gonna put these pictures up on our website so people can see what I'm trying to describe, because I'm terrible at this. We've got the captain sitting right here.
Thanks,
Well, with that, I want to thank our guests here for joining us, getting to learn a lot about, you know, the meaning behind Trade Roots, the people behind Trade Roots, and Captain's Reserve, and, you know, why we're excited to feature them here in our market, and really introduce them to the people out here. We're going to feature some of your products on our, not only in our store, but we're going to send show some pictures of, you know, some of the products that you have out there now, so people can get really excited about it when they actually hit the market out here from our store. And we're really excited to have you guys on board. And again, my name is Alan Villatoro with Discern. I'm going to let our guests here introduce themselves and say a final word.
Jesse Pitts again, co-founder of Trade Roots, and I want to thank the Discern team for having us out here for this blast out in Worcester, and you know, at Summit Lounge. And
it's Summit,
really always good time.
Yeah, they shout out to Summit. Yeah. Thank you,
Aaron, Brianna, Alan. Thank you. This was fun. Yeah, this was fun.
Fantastic. Awesome. We're excited to partner with great companies and great people.
Yeah.
So,
I just really quick before I sign off, I just want to say keep an eye on these guys, folks. They're doing some amazing things, not just behind the counter, but they're doing amazing things out in the community. So, they've been doing a shit ton of volunteer work.
That's right.
I've been eyeing them, I've been watching them.
Every Saturday.
Yeah, every Saturday. If you guys live or out near Wareham,
their handles as well, so everybody knows how to follow you as well.
Yeah,
sure. So you can follow us on Trade Roots, TRADE ROOTS _ Buzz, BUZZ, and our website's traderoots.buzz. And yeah, every Saturday 9 a.m. we do a different place every week. Mm-hmm. If the weather's really lousy, I'm not there. being bald brain sucks, but it's we're doing it again this Saturday, so come on out.
That's a great thing to do. I think it's exciting. People need to know about that. Yeah,
so important.
I tell you, picking up trash with these guys is fun.
Yeah,
so come on out. And it's a good time.
It's very meaningful too. It helps, you know, you're improving the community that you're trying to, you know, to provide products for. I think it's important to do that.
Yeah.
So no, I think that's incredible that you're doing that. So
thank you.
So Trade Roots
_
buzz.
And traderoots.buzz for our website.
Awesome.
Excellent. All right.
Well, with that, we're going to... before we leave it, one more thing.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the the products that we did try today.
Yep.
We tried their pre-rolls today, which were the Orange Velvet Underground, cultivated by Trade Roots. Previously, we had tried... Oh, which one did we get over there?
This is the same one.
Previously, we had the... Brianna, you can mention those real quick.
So I'm the concentrate fan. So when we stopped by, you know, originally when I was at Good Chem, I got the Mr. Good Chem, which is what made me and Carl get in connection. And I started, you know, you guys really got on my radar at that point. I tried the carts before. I'm not a carts person, but concentrates for me is my area. So I tried the Mr. Good Chem and I kind of was like a little bit knocked off my feet about, you know, the consistency of it, the terpene profile. It just all around was a very nice product. And then we traveled out to you guys' store and we had bought a couple. I had bought in the Flow and then I that got another one.
Yes.
Yep. And then I think I got another in-house one.
I know.
I think it was like the Orange Velvet or one of those like along the line. And
DJ Andy?
Yes, DJ Andy. The same
DJ Andy. That was also the best?
And one of your amazing bartenders, by the way,
that's how we got
was the
Andy
one that pointed
the,
us
the
in
DJ
all of our...
DJ Andy was cultivated by the Pass.
So both, but either way...
and the Flow.
It was one of those ones that just really kind of knocked me off my feet. And then, but like I said, it was the consistency of the product. It was the fact that I honestly have not been disappointed yet. You know, and we really didn't dive too much into it, but you know, the selectivity of your grow. There's so much aspect into the love and care that you guys give your products, whether you guys partner up with someone or whether you do it yourself. And that goes to speak for itself. So that's why I think that everyone, if you have the opportunity and you're out in the area, visit the shop, because, you know, you learn a lot from buying something from a third party, but I learned more and it will make me gravitate more towards those products from being in that store. So please take that visit, go out, visit them, ask, you know, if they're in the house. I'm sure Carl and Jesse, like they are one of the best people to learn about these products and what they're doing. And meanwhile, Mr. Avery over here from Wholesale is joining us, who is one of our first connections as well. But you know, again, with this company, everyone that we've met from head to toe has genuinely been educated and has pointed us in the right direction. So I'm grateful for that, and it's hard to find. So congratulations in opening up retail. Congratulations in everything you guys are doing, the strides you are making, because especially Jesse, with your background, the strides you have made since then, it's unheard of, especially in this industry. The people are trying hard and hard. So congratulations. Keep on doing what you're doing, because you're doing it the right way. And that's why we're going to be there for you.
Thank you.
Brianna, thank you. Alan, thank you.
So we're going to wrap it up here with this episode of The Discerning Eye from the Summit Lounge here in Worcester, Mass on Water Street, right? Thank you, everyone, for joining us, and we look forward to having you on our next episode.
Thank you for listening to the Discerning Eye podcast with Alan Villatoro, Aaron Luna, and Brianna Grignon of Discerned Cannabis Purveyors. Stay tuned for more podcasts and keep up to date with Discerned Cannabis Purveyors by visiting their website at discernedcannabis.com. That's DISCERND cannabis.com.